Session number 16717, John Everett, Reel 2.
Mr. Everett, Reel 2. Where was the drill hall for the 6th Battalion, the Royal Welsh Fusiliers, when you joined?
The drill hall was in Holyhead itself, up by Holborn Road, they call the road. That's where the drill hall was. And we used to go there, do our drills, which was twice, sometimes three times a week. And we used to go on the range, which there is a range there facing out to sea, by South Stack or further down on the rifle range, and do all the basic like blanco in your kit and all, you know, and then polishing, because we'd be all brasses then, you know.
And you'd have putties then, did you?
Putties, yeah, we had our putties and all.
How did you find trying to get those on correctly?
Well, actually, there was no problems with it. You took measurements off your fingers, you know, between the distance of it. I forget how many there was it 6 or 5 or 6, you know. And then we went to the short putties when war broke out, and then from there we went to gaiters, you know what I mean. And I believe that's where I was trying to look for that photo. I still might come across it. I think I was about the first lad that got a battle dress, you know, when we moved, you know, and I was looked like a kid amongst the rest of them. And that's why, actually, I'll have to find that photo. She might have shifted it somewhat.
What weapons were you first introduced to?
The Lee Enfield rifle, and some of us had P-14s, only held about five.
You know. Did you have the Lewis gun then, not the Bren?
We had the Lewis gun, but I had no to do with the Lewis gun until later on in the army life. The Lewis gun had the magazine on top, you know. Because they were like the Cheshire Regiment, they were specialised. They were what they call a machine gun regiment. You know, they had Lewis gun. They used to mark. When I first come in contact with the Lewis gun, when I was posted to the Durhams, when we formed them, and we had a Lewis gun down when we were at Hyde in Saturn. We had it for anti-aircraft, and used to jam a lot. You know.
Did you have any gas precautions training whilst you were in the West Kent, whilst you were in the Fusiliers, Welsh Fusiliers? Gas precautions, gas training?
Oh, yes, we had the gas train, gas mask, everything. Yeah, we used to do them more or less straight away, you know, had them on your chest, on the front, you know. Yeah.
Life with the Welsh Fusiliers, when you first joined, Was there any bullying or initiation ceremonies, this kind of thing that happened today?
Well, actually, what you asked me before, where I was a bit nervous, in the younger days, you know, I was, the way I was pressed up, strict, very strict, that I'd do as I was told, and it wasn't that, I got a hammering for it, you know what I mean? And when we actually did move, when war broke out, we moved to the battalion, moved to Old Colwyn, next to Colwyn Bay on the North Wales coast, all in these old chalets, holiday camp it used to be, I believe, you know. And actually with us being his boys and the elder soldiers who go out and coming back and fighting with us, and just to terrify us, you know. Not used to that sort of thing, you know what I mean.
When the battalion went to Ireland, where did you go then?
They sorted us out then. Myself, we were posted to a place called Conway, and the rest of the battalion, they went to Ireland, and there was about, because there wasn't that many in that age group, same as myself, and we went to Conway, and we were guarding the tunnel there, in case it got blown up off, trouble or what there is today. And we had a sentry one side of the tunnel, and they had sentry that we were in touch by phone. on the alongside by the entrance of the tunnel on the railway track. We used one of the railway compartments, and that used to be all like our guard, you know, used to be on duty there. And that's what our job were at Glenwell at Conway, and we were at the school at Conway, an old school. And I believe the school's still there, and there was a hotel, I forget what they call it, opposite the school. It's right on the railway, but indeed on the platform. And that's where we were billeted in.
We're sleeping on the floor?
On the floor, palliasis, yeah, on the floor, yeah. Slept on the floor more or less all the time, you know.
And were you doing any training there as well as this guard duty?
Oh, yes, we used to do physical, you know, PT, run rounds, you know, more or less. Guard duty, same as ordinary barracks, actually. Yeah, everything had to be spick and span, you know what I mean? Stand by your beds and inspection, you know.
Was it, were you mainly young soldiers, boy soldiers there?
We had, I told you, a fella that was in charge of us, a sergeant. He was a VC from the First World War. I still remember his name because he hit me, busted my eye. Sergeant Wheeler, I believe he was called. He was
we got that on the last tape.
Yeah, well, he was a sergeant. I still remember his name, Sergeant Wheeler. Yeah.
How long were you there?
Well, actually, I couldn't remember. We weren't all there that long because we started getting posted to different places. And I believe I was posted. Where was I posted now? I'm trying to remember where I was posted. I was posted, I believe, down to form the 17th Battalion, Durham's.
Where was that?
They were formed up, and they were conscripts. They were formed up outside Edinburgh. I believe they called the place Morton Hall, just outside Edinburgh. And there was three battalions of the Durham's formed there. The 17th, I was in the 17th. The 16th was in the next field. And the next field of that, I believe it was the 14th Battalion. And naturally, we were more or less trained, and they were coming in civvies. And actually, we were sorry for them, you know, because under canvas, and it was, the duck boats were floating. That's how bad it was in these fields. And they had these troughs with all the old cold water taps in the middle, you know. And I was mixing in with them. And at that particular time, I had to be a batman for one of the officers. And he had one of them little troughs with a, you know what I mean? And I was, he had to go home, clean his kit, get everything, get a bit of water for him in the morning, do odd jobs for him. And this is true, is I was a bit inquisitive. On his desk, there used to be a little box. And the next day it was shifted and shifted all the time. And I got a bit inquisitive and I just opened the lid and it was eye, so he must have been wearing a glass eye unknown to me, that particular officer.
Remember his name?
I do not remember him, but he definitely had a glass eye unknown to me, and that's what that was. So he might have had two, and you know what I mean.
What date would it be when you moved over to the 17th?
Well, they were still calling them up. So it must have been after Dunkirk, I don't know. It could have been after Dunkirk. I'm not sure of the dates, but it could have been. But all these were conscripts, except naturally staff, what we call staff, you know.
How did you feel moving from a Welsh regiment to a Durham regiment?
Well, actually, we were few, an odd one with us, had been with us, like, you know what I mean? And these lads were coming in as intakes, like, with their civvies and getting shouted and bawled at. And there was one particular fella, he come from Birmingham. We said, ooh, I don't like this. And he said, oh, what they call you? And I told him, oh, I said, you're all right, you get used to it. I will definitely not get used to this. He said he was a ballroom dancer. And those two of the fellas must have known him. And when we used to meet in the night time in a wet canteen, what they call a wet canteen, where they all had to could go and have a drink in the night time, these big marquees. And that'll be the cat, I suppose. Oops. And his clients, what he used to call clients, what he used to be ballroom dancer with, he used to sell him checks, and then he used to get the drinks for the fellas out of it, you know. And he belonged to Birmingham, that particular lad.
You would have to change, in effect, your regiment from the Royal Welsh Fusiliers to the Durham Light Infantry.
That's correct.
Did that upset you?
No, not actually, no. You know what I mean? It did in a way, but it didn't in another way, you know, follow what I mean? Because there seemed to be a good crowd of lads, you know, except, well, there was one fella, the only one we knew about, they called him Waffles. He belonged, but that's his nickname he had. And he said, they're not getting me to come in the army. That's what he was telling everybody, and he used to do all sorts of pranks, walk everybody on parade, and he used to walk in front with a stick, started picking paper up and all that, you know, like saying he was around the bend. You know, but actually he did get his ticket in the end when we moved down south, you know.
Where were most of the conscripts coming from? Were they Durham lads?
No, all over. Midlands, quite a few of them people that's come. You know, I think it was D Company, I forget the name of the company, that many companies. Most of them come from the Midlands, you know. And where they have to discard, they were coming in civvies and then they were getting their kids shot at them. You know, it doesn't matter if they're fitted or not, they still got them, you know. Or shouting. Honestly, you can't describe what they must have felt like, you know, especially with sleeping car, oh dear me. The duck boats were floating, that's how bad it was. And then we started doing training with them.
Were you in tents?
In tents, under canvas, yeah.
How many men would there be in a tent?
Could be six, eight. And you had the duck boats on the bottom, you know, and palliasses on the top, you know what I mean? Terrible conditions. And all your rifles in the middle on a tent pole, you know.
Where did you eat?
Oh, the one of these big marquees, you know, like what they call wet, what I've just described. And another marquee where you all went with your Dixies, all had your Dixies going, line up for it and pop them, you know.
What was the food like?
Horrible. Yeah, horrible. Got porridge and was full of lumps, you know what I mean. The food was horrible. We had the naffy there, like that. That was another canteen. Well, if you had any money, you used to go on a naffy. But if you had no money, you had no, you know what I mean? And I was only able to give 7 and 6, I think I was getting. And out of that, I used to leave 3 shilling to my mum, allowance. Well, more or less, you had to leave allowance. Anything happened to you, next of kin, you know what I mean? Yeah.
What form did your training take? What kind of training were you doing?
There, we were doing mostly, there was, in this particular camp, on the opposite side, about, say, a mile or 2 miles away, there was 2 big hills, massive hills there were, and they were like that. Well, actually, when we had to go full kit across these fields or up these hills, and actually, I couldn't do it to one. And some of these conscripts pulling me up to get to the top. Yeah, that's the honest truth. I couldn't do it, you know, and I'd push on. Because there was some good comradeship amongst them, you know, help you, you know. And there was one fella, he come from the London area, and he used to come, sit next to me, and he always used to ask me this, ask me that, ask me that. And he was a corporal in all time, you know, like himself. And later on, maybe 6-12 months after that, after we moved from that area, because we moved after we got fully trained and all that, we moved from there.
How long would you be there?
Well, I'm only guessing roughly, say, 6 months. It mightn't have been 6 months. We moved from there. Dunbar in Scotland, and we were posted in different houses there. And this is when I was telling you about that for Corporal. I happened to be with him all the time, like. And what we were doing there, we were sending patrols out to a place called St. Baldrick's Cradled. We went by transport, and then we had to wait for the tides, and we had a guard and about four men, sometimes six, was put on this island, and once you're on there, you have to wait until the tide come in, invasion scare they call it, you know. And what we were on that island, we were watching inland as well as out. If anything did come, like, you were only there as a warning to other people, because you would have no chance, you know. And you had to watch it for any lights from inshore, in case there was any spies passing messages or all that. And we used to go over St. Baldrick's Cradle. Everybody used to hate that because it was winter time. Because you went on that and you were there for 3 or 4 days till you got relieved, and another guard come on and wait for the tides all the time. So I don't know if you have a look at the map. That's what the place was called, St. Baldrick's Cradle. And it was like a little island that's more or less...
Was there any shelter on it?
Or what we done ourselves, our dugouts, you know what I mean? Barbed wire all the way around, like. And we had to come through some sort of wood onto it when the tide was out. And once you got there, the tide covered all this area. So it should be on the map. It's Dunbar, from Dunbar onwards.
Did anything untoward happen? Was there any scares which you recall?
Well, we used to recall, lights, and they used to investigate these lights, like SOS signals and all that. We used to report them, but you never got told if there was any outcome of them. But you had to report them, all the guard, you know, command, corporal or sergeant in charge of the guard, used to report to him.
Did you have any contact with the land through telephone or anything of that nature?
They had, yeah. We used to, I don't know what you call them. Like
radio
Morse, yeah, like Morse, you know. Yeah, you had to operate there.
What time would your day start?
Well, first thing in the morning, 6:30, 7 o'clock, it's daylight, you know what I mean. And sometimes when you're out there, you couldn't, because not off, because it was that cold, you know. Yeah.
Was it a full day duty, or were you on this island for several days?
No, you're on like two on, four off, you know, all continuous while you're on there, two on, four off.
And then you were relieved by the next guard coming
yeah,
in?
Yeah, by the next guard, yeah, and relieved, yeah. Well, then we were on there, then there was a couple of big air raids. And was it East Lothian, that's the other side, some of us moved to East Lothian. And they dropped some 500-pound bombs. But there was one just on the riverside, and it hadn't gone off. So we were closing all the roads while the engineers were still, oh, terrific size it was. Went up to have a look at it. They dug it, you could see, you know, and took it out and had to close off while they exploded. It was a 500-pound German bomb in the East Lothian, but it actually never hit anything, just, you know, soil.
What other duties had you whilst you were in this place?
Pardon?
What other duties did you have?
Kept on training, like physical training, you know, running. And it was still the same, what we call bull, brasses, you know, everything. Everything had to be spick and span. And then I happened to get, was looking after, what do they call that job now? Cleaning the mess out after, the, you know, in this house, particular house, was in there. And the same corporal when I fetched up, and you had to if you went out, you had to be in for 12 o'clock if you went into Dunbar itself. Dunbar's right on the seafront, and 10 minutes I think I was late. And the same fellow that had helped promote him up, be reporters for 7 days for it. And I lost that good job looking after the mess over it, you know. And I thought, what did they call us? I still remember it. It's the Sergeant Major was from the Midlands. I believe they call him Sergeant Major Ledbetter. And our colonel, I still remember the colonel's name of the 17th Battalion, Colonel Morkel. And our adjutant, I believe he got decorated on the invasion, what I got told off different sources, Close Brooks.
What were they like as officers?
Well, to me they were quite decent. Type of people you'd follow and listen to. And Colonel Morkel, well, to me, like, he was getting on in age, like, at that particular time. You know. But Close Brooks, adjutant, he was only a young fellow, like, but I got told he got decorated on the invasion with the 17th, so the 17th must have been on the invasion, I don't know.
What company were you in?
D Company.
Do you remember your company commander?
I told you the one. That's the one that had the one eye. I can't remember. And I was his batsman.
You mentioned some of the duties as a batsman. What other things did you do for your officer?
Holding all sorts for him. You know what I mean? You cleaned his gear. Seen that he had. Well, it wasn't hot, dude, but it wasn't cold like out of tub. You had to see to that in the morning for him, first thing.
Washing.
You know what I mean? Got everything for him. And he had to leave his tent spot because it wasn't canvas the same as us. And if he didn't want something particular, you'd slip down and tell him, oh, so-and-so doesn't want that, you know.
Did you like the job?
Oh, well, I enjoyed it, yeah. Because he got excuse for the duties by doing it sometimes. That's why he liked it. Because most of the army lads, as far as I knew, they hated PT in the morning, because first thing in the morning, winter, they came with his shorts on and might have run about 2-3 miles. Everybody used to try, and that's why he used to get a lot of people going on. See the doctor, something wrong with him, no wrong with him, forgive him and he's straight back on duty. And actually, he might have been all right, he's only just off PT.
How did you get on with the local Scotsman?
Oh, we got on all right, we had no problems in Dunbar, so there was an odd bar, I was a bit on the young side then, you know what I mean. We got on all right there, and they were quite nice people, actually. Treat us all right.
Did you get invited into the homes?
No, I didn't, actually, myself, no. The only place I was ever invited to the homes was in South Africa. One of some of the nicest people I've ever met.
The training you said, that you've mentioned PE, or PT, what other training did you do?
Arms with the Brengen, go out shouting. Most of us carry ammunition then, you know what I mean. We had the same as you would actually in peacetime. On parade, you know, like we got passing out parades and we passing out. All the general detail what you actually do, you know.
Did you do any field training? You do any field training? Attacking and defending and defending?
Yes. We used to go on the river in these punts. And I couldn't swim, as you know yourself, and every time we used to go somewhere where I knew it was deep water, I used to be terrified, but I still had to do it. And there was some of them dead keen in the water with a kit on and everything, you know, crossing. And we had to do what they call a lot of, the name for it. Like we had to go and take somewhere, like actually battle, but you know what I mean? It's never actually the same, but we had to go and attack this particular place, and there was somebody else on the other side, you know what I mean? All in army routine, training for war. Well, that's all it was, actually. Getting you fit but ready for war, because there was the invasion scare on, not. And we actually, you can't realise what it's like, you know, until you're actually in it.
Did you train with artillery and tanks as well?
Just our own. We did not train. We had our own carriers, trained with some carriers, with artillery. We had what we call then, them days, we had our own gunners. You know what I mean? No, our heavy guns, our mortars, 2-inch mortars, that was the biggest one we had. The biggest one we were used to, one, the boys' anti-tank rifle. We went firing up for the first time. I thought my shoulder was going to be put out. 0.5. We used to put them on blank carriers. That's what they had to go against tanks, I believe. Then that's weapons we were trained with, was the Bren guns, and was it a Tommy gun? I think we call it, not a, you know, like a Sten gun, Tommy gun.
When you were attacking, did you form up as a line in advance, or did you move fire and movement in groups?
No, no, we like, say for instance, you're about half a mile away, and you had to go attack this wood. The enemy was in the wood. Well, the company commander, he detailed you out, and he'd lay the plans, how what actually we're doing. You might sense reconnaissance left, or you know what I mean. And we had somebody in that wood, you know, to make it look like different. But used to do these force marches. That was, you know, sometimes 10, 14. I've done up to 50-mile force route march, full gear. Done that in Kent when we moved down Kent. We moved to Kent from Dunbar, you know. That's where I actually started real, what you call real training.
But what date would it be when you moved from Dunbar to Kent?
Must have been this, would it be 41? 41, could have been 41. We went to Risborough Barracks. We were at Risborough Barracks, and we went from Risborough Barracks to Shorncliffe Barracks, and from there we, what they call in the battalion 17th, what they call a battle, they wanted a battle patrol in the battalion, and I was picked off our commander, and he belonged Leeds, I forget his name, and he thought a word of me. He said, you're in this battle group, we form it, and we're going to put you in separate billets. Any skirmish or anything, you would be the first people to be called out. And there was about 12 of us, I think, what they call a battle group. And this was before you heard about commandos and all that. This in the battalion itself. And we were posted from Folkestone onto Dover Hill on the pub. I don't know, it might be there today, on top of Dover. Coming up from Folkestone to Dover, got to the Dover Road, the Valiant Sailor, they called it. We were posted to these bungalows, old posh bungalows, where we were posted into them, battle patrol. And in between going up there, we had to go back down, and we used to go and put defences up at Hythe, putting barbed wire fences up, put a lot of. Actually, one of our lads shot one of our sergeants down there, killed him through his own fault. And I was on guard duty that day. It was on the Hythe, Folkestone Hythe. Everything that come on that road after a certain, all day long, everything was stopped, and they had to show their identity. Well, this night, we were on guard that night, but the other lads were on guard on the road. One, there was two on. And anything coming, he had a red light on, flashes light, and the other lad, And this car approached, I think they were from 12 to 2 they were on, I forget the particular time. And this car didn't stop. So he fired after him, exactly like it's happened in Ireland. And it skidded to a halt. When he run down, sergeant slumped out. There was two officers sat in the back, sergeant in the front and a driver. And they had told him not to stop. And he was dead. So I would miss them two in the back. And then this guard come up to the guard room, and he's orderly officer. He said, "I've got a dead man down there." So he didn't know what to say, and that's the truth.